first, Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation ended last week, and yesterday we got our first glimpse into what he found. According to a summary from Attorney General William Barr, Mueller found no evidence of collusion or conspiracy with Russia by President Trump or anyone on his campaign. But when it came to the obstruction of justice charges, Mueller opted against a clear determination, leaving it up to Barr and his deputy to make the final call. The news was a reason to celebrate for the Trump administration, and this morning at the White House, we heard some of the president's reactions.
It's lasted a long time. We're glad it's over. It's 100% the way it should have been. I wish it could have gone a lot sooner, a lot quicker. There are a lot of people out there that have done some very, very evil things, very bad things, I would say treasonous things against our country.
But many Democrats say they still have questions and want the complete report from Mueller to be made public. Lowell Barrington is an associate professor and chair of the political science department at Marquette University. He's joined us several times during the course of the Mueller investigation. Lowell, thanks so much for coming back on the show.
You're welcome. It's great to be with you, Judith.
Let's start with the biggest cloud that's been hanging over President Trump's head, Russia collusion or conspiracy. What exactly did Mueller say?
Well, it's probably good to start with what Mueller was tasked to do here, which was really it's three things. He was asked to explain and show and look into whether or not Russia interfered in the election, and if it did, to what extent it was on behalf of a particular candidate. He was asked whether people in the United States, and that would be obviously including the then candidate Trump and his campaign, conspired to coordinate those efforts, and then to follow up on any crimes that are uncovered along the way. So those are the three basic things. And I will say, first of all, it's hard to know exactly what was found without seeing the report, but we know there's a lot of information gathered, so I was sort of surprised to see the number of over 2,800 subpoenas and almost 500 search warrants. So there's a lot of information uncovered. What we know is on whether Russia interfered, Mueller laid out a massive amount of evidence on actions by Russia that led to indictments about interference in the campaign to benefit then-candidate Trump. So that we know. And we also know, and this was the sort of bigger news because we knew a lot of that first part, that on whether there was a conspiracy, Barr's own words from his letter is basically that the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government. And note that this doesn't mean there's no evidence, but it really does acknowledge that there was not enough evidence or really any evidence found that was convincing enough to go forward, while still acknowledging, again, the Russian interference.
So that is specifically on the issue of whether anyone on the Trump team had actually coordinated with Russians or other entities.
That's correct. And it does mean that, again, there were plenty of meetings, and we all know about many of those that have been covered publicly. And in fact, in places, the Attorney General did even really state about the multiple times that there were efforts by Russia. He says something about despite multiple offers from Russian-affiliated individuals to assist the Trump campaign. So he was not shying away from the idea that there were contacts and effort by Russia, just that there was not enough evidence, according to Mueller, that there was any way to go forward with a claim of conspiracy.
So that sounds like there were issues, for instance, the Trump Tower meeting with the Russian lawyer that were being held forward by people who were thinking that that showed clear evidence of some kind of collusion. It sounds like Mueller and Mueller's team found that did not.
Well, and again, there could be evidence of some collusion, some level of cooperation, but again, nothing that was formal or organized enough to make Mueller think it was really evidence that could carry the day in court. And I think one way to think about this, and this is something that people had talked a lot about early on in some ways, was that it could be that Mueller saw a lot of these meetings that happened as, frankly, innocent things on the Trump campaign side, that there was perhaps a naivete about what was going on and not really understanding the extent to which Russia was trying to manipulate things. And that, again, all we know is those kinds of meetings did not lead to indictments for, obviously, for the president, but even for people around him.
What does this report mean for other people on Trump's team, in Trump's inner circle, who were being scrutinized? For instance, Donald Trump Jr.
Right. Well, it is important to point out there were a lot of people who were indicted, including people very close to President Trump and others who, again, have pled guilty and things like that. So there were people around him that, in fact, we have seen clear evidence of crimes. His son, Don Jr., is not one of those. He has not been indicted. I would say that one of the ways to think about this is in the same way that for the president, this was a good but not a kind of great perfect day in some ways, but it was a very good day. And for Don Jr., is a very good day. It does not mean he's out of the woods yet. It means he's out of these woods. And I think there's a lot of other possible investigations into the Trump family and Trump finances that, will continue. But it does mean that his involvement in things like the Trump Tower meeting, that was not something that Mueller believed should be pursued.
And we will be talking about those other investigations in other formats tomorrow afternoon after 4:30. So, Lowell, is collusion something now that congressional Democrats really can't claim anymore, that they should kind of take that off of the table of what they're accusing the president of or wanting to look into?
That's a good question. And I think one way to think about it would be, again, whether we're talking about conspiracy and things like that. Yes, it looks like we should not be pursuing those things because Mueller has had plenty of time and an awful lot of evidence to use. But if we're asking a more general question about, for example, whether there is reason to be concerned that the president might have been compromised in some way with his ties to Russia, that even if there was not a coordinated conspiracy that met a legal standard related to the campaign, the Democrats certainly will still, I assume, be looking into questions of connections with Russia from that broader question of whether there's a potential that he is a compromised individual in terms of ties to Russia.
We're talking with Lowell Barrington right now. He's associate professor and chair of the political science department at Marquette University. And we are talking about what we know and don't know about the Mueller investigation and the report. And so, as we said, there was no evidence of collusion or conspiracy found. But the issue of obstruction of justice is where things get less clear. What do we know of what Mueller said based on the Barr letter?
Well, the answer is we actually don't know a lot about what he said, except a very kind of partial statement and then a lot of additional text from Barr himself. We do know, according to Barr, that the special counsel, and this was an interesting phrase, decided not to make a traditional prosecutorial judgment. And what he meant by that was, instead of saying there's enough evidence to go forward with action on the obstruction topic, he instead laid out evidence on both sides, said it's a complicated issue, and did, though, and this is one of the things, again, Barr specifically put in the letter, said the special counsel said that it does not exonerate President Trump on obstruction. It's just that it was not a clear enough hurdle to get over in terms of moving forward with it. So that is something, again, I think that we do need to have in mind.
So who then decides if there is evidence of obstruction of justice or not?
Well, that's one of the, let's say, questions of the day. there is a lot of debate on that topic. Barr put in the letter that because the special counsel left the obstruction issue undecided, I mean, his words were that leaves it to the attorney general to determine whether the conduct described in the report constitutes a crime. Now, what's interesting about this is that's a part of the letter where that's Barr's language. So he is not quoting Mueller saying that it leaves it to the attorney general. And there are a lot of people that say precisely in a situation like obstruction, when there's a very high bar, as you know, for indicting a sitting president, that in fact these decisions about what constitutes a crime really lie with Congress, and that this is a place where Congress needs all of this information to make its own decisions on this if it were to move forward, for example, with impeachment.
Well, and some people will wonder if it's proper for an attorney general appointed by President Trump to decide whether or not the president obstructed justice. Is that a fair question?
I think it's a fair question. I think we don't necessarily want to assume that Barr is unbiased here. And of course, there's a lot being made about the fact that he sent a memo prior to being selected to be attorney general to the White House that laid out a very high bar for going after a president on these kinds of issues. And so I think, yes, he had a predetermined, again, at least high bar on what would constitute something you'd move forward with for obstruction. It is important, though, that Barr does mention this is not him individually, but in fact him and Rosenstein together jointly coming to this conclusion that he believes there was not obstructive conduct, I think was his word, and then also very important that it was not done with corrupt intent in terms of the things that the president did.
So Robert Mueller and his team found that there was no evidence of collusion or conspiracy. The obstruction issue is much less clear. But is there any relationship between the two in the sense, Lowell, of if there was no finding of collusion or conspiracy, could the president actually have obstructed even though the finding ended up in his favor?
That's a very good question. It's a very important question about what Barr is referring to in the letter about that there's sort of no underlying crime to have in mind as we're thinking about what the president might have been obstructing over. And I think that it's a point to consider. And it does kind of take us back to that idea that the evidence doesn't establish that the president was involved in a conspiracy. But to be fair, to those who are worried about this, it doesn't matter in some ways if there's an underlying crime. So someone who's innocent can still obstruct an investigation, for example, to avoid maybe embarrassing material coming out. So even if they're innocent, there's things they don't want to come out in the investigation. But the reason that Barr went back to the question about no underlying crime is the question of intent. And that's where it's not definitive in any way to say if there's no crime, there's no intent to obstruct, right? I mean, you can obstruct and be innocent and just want to not have bad information come out. But if you're trying to figure out with obstruction, and this is an important point, that it does imply a kind of conscious and effort with intent to stop something from moving forward, the lack of a crime does cause problems for the idea of intent, right? That, again, why would there be intent to obstruct an investigation if there was no evidence that investigation was finding about a crime? So it's a piece of the story on intent. It's not the only story, but it is one that Barr pointed to as just something that they took into account to say that part of what they were saying is they were not convinced on the question of intent to obstruct.
We're talking with Lowell Barrington. He's associate professor and chair of Marquette's political science department, and he's with us to talk about the findings of the Mueller report, which were summarized by Attorney General William Barr and sent to Congress yesterday. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What are you making of the end of this 22-month investigation into the president and his close colleagues? Were the findings what you thought they'd be, or did they surprise you? Do you think the attorney general made the right call when he said there wasn't enough to charge President Trump with obstruction of justice? And what questions do you have about how this process has gone so far, or what comes next? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation after this short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Right now, we're picking up our conversation with Lowell Barrington of Marquette University. He's with us to talk about the findings of the Mueller report and Attorney General William Barr's decision that President Trump did not obstruct justice. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see the full Mueller report released to the public? What do you make of Democrats saying the obstruction of justice charge still needs to be looked at? Does this outcome have any effect on who you're thinking about supporting for president in 2020? And do you think this should take talk of impeachment off the table? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or tweet us at Central Time, WPR. Let's go to the phones, and Willem in Colfax is up. Hi, Willem.
Hi. I do think that the whole report needs to be released. For one thing, we paid for it, so I think we should see it. And the assertion that the president is making that this was an illegal takedown of the president, there's nothing illegal about the appointment of the special counsel. And the other thing is, no matter what the report said, it doesn't change the basic nature of the man. And I base my opinion about Donald Trump not on the liberal media, but on simply observing him himself, his inability to be able to tell the truth, his assaulting women, bragging about being the biggest genius to the best president, all these sort of disgraceful things, this report doesn't change the nature of the man. I think he's still the most disturbing individual ever to hold the office of the President of the United States, and I think he's doing great damage to this country.
Thank you for that call, Willem. And Lowell, is this report and the ends that it reached, is it going to change anyone's opinion on either side of this issue?
Well, that's a good question. I think, again, we look at these things in an increasing polarized world that we're in politically, and pardon the pun, but through polarized lenses. I mean, that people are seeing what they want to see in certain ways. So I will say that I think it does take the wind out of the sails a bit on people who were pushing for impeachment proceedings. When the full report comes out, that might change, but at least for now, that seems to have been, and it really already was being pushed back a little bit off the table by some leading Democrats, but I think that is even more so the case now. I will say to Willem's point about the, and I won't talk about his general critiques of President Trump, I think some of the other investigations going forward, some of those things may come into play. But his point is absolutely correct, that the longstanding claim about this being sort of a witch hunt and an illegal action is not really credible on the president's part, in part because, again, it was his own actions that really triggered this, including the way that Comey was fired and things like that that happened early on, that was really the trigger for the investigation. And I think once it started, the American people were owed a full investigation, and I think they got a very good one.
Let's go back to the phones, and Tim in Marinette is up. Hi, Tim.
Hi. My comment was just that the report is in. I think we should hike up our big boy pants and just allow the president to rule. That's what we elected him to do, and now he's been found, to be innocent of the charge. And I just think that it's time that we, become Americans again and follow the precepts of the Constitution.
And Tim, do you think that the full report should be released?
I think after it's been redacted with the sensitivity issues removed, or I do believe, but I won't be able to, I could read it, but I tell you what, I'm not going to understand the word, and it's all going to be in legalese. Average Joe on the street's not going to know what it means. I mean, 95% of your viewers aren't going to know what it means either. They're going to read it and go, oh, well, yeah, and they'll form their own opinions out of misunderstandings or whatever, like we do as it is.
All right. Thanks so much for that call, Tim. And let's go right to Emma in Madison. Hi, Emma.
Yeah, hi. I'm calling because I think it should be released, because it's hard to know what, you can write things in a way that make it seem like it's true, but it's not really. So I really want to know what the report says. And I'm wondering if we're going to be hearing from Mueller at all about it, or what's his role now?
Oh, that's a great question, Emma. Thank you for that. So, Lowell, do you anticipate Robert Mueller being subpoenaed and making any kind of public statement or being questioned in a way that the public would be able to see?
Well, I would hope it wouldn't have to take a subpoena. I think he may voluntarily come before a congressional committee if requested. And I think he would probably appreciate laying out more of what happened in the investigation publicly, but he will be very careful. I mean, he is certainly a by-the-book person, and he would not want to push over or step anywhere close to lines that would be compromising in any way in terms of things that should not be public. I absolutely agree with, actually, Tim's earlier point, though, about if we release it, there will clearly be redactions, both the security concerns parts, but also things from the grand jury testimony and different things like that. Really, we can't release publicly. So we will have to get ready for the idea that even if it's released, there will be significant portions we still don't get to see, and that'll be okay.
Let's take one quick call from Patrick in Milwaukee. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I think what we've seen the last few days is a display of lack of character by Barr, making such a quick decision, almost seeming to do a buddy a favor, where we saw the character of Mueller over almost 2 years just doing his job in a very honorable way. So, I mean, it seems very suspect and biased that Barr's decision, knowing what he said 2 years ago about what he thought the Mueller report was, originally, that he thought it was a scam. So it's right there in front of us.
And we're running short on time, Patrick. Thanks for that call. Lowell, were you surprised that that Attorney General Barr was able to turn around a summary less than 48 hours after it was submitted?
Well, I'd welcome Patrick's comment that it does stand in great contrast to the very long and slow and careful investigation that it was summarizing. I will say, to be fair to William Barr, that if he had sat on it for a month to come up with a letter, that also would have been really heavily criticized. And so I think he did feel also a lot of pressure to move pretty quickly to get at least some of the basic findings out.
And Lowell, as we wrap up, what are you looking for moving forward from this point where we're at now? 22 months of investigation, many different charges, this summary looking at whether it's going to be released in full or not. What are you watching for?
Well, I think as a political scientist, one of the main things that I really hope people don't forget is the first point we started with today, which is that Russia interfered in our election in a really significant way with intent not only to change the outcome, but really to undermine one of the cornerstones of our democracy, which is belief in free and fair elections. So I hope that moving forward, one of the things we do is continue to work to protect those elections as much as we can, regardless of what the findings are on different individuals.
Well, Lowell, thanks so much for joining us. I have a feeling that we might be having you back. I don't think this is completely over yet.
That would be just fine.
That was Lowell Barrington, chair of Marquette's Political Science Department. He was with us today to talk about everything we've learned so far and the questions that are still unanswered now that special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation is over. And again, tomorrow after 4:30, we will be looking at congressional reaction, what actions House Democrats might be taking, and the next steps that the president and his colleagues might take. Tune in then.